Today is the second Sunday after Easter, called Good Shepherd Sunday. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today. There will be the adult catechism class today, April 14th at 6:30 p.m. It will be in the hall and online. No benediction this evening. Today is Bishop Ward's 51st anniversary of his ordination. As you know. And tomorrow is the cleaning of the chapel. Will be this Monday after 8:30 a.m. Mass. Please remain after Mass today for an updated announcement about confirmation. Confirmation information. See updated handout paper which the ushers will distribute after Mass today. Those who would like to volunteer to assist us in the spring cleanup and raking of the landscape, please come next Saturday. That's this Saturday, this coming Saturday, April 20th, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. And today is also the feast of St. Justin Martyr. On Wednesday is the commemoration of St. Anicetus. Those are the announcements for today. Don't forget to stay after Mass. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, Christ has suffered for us, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile, when he suffered, did not threaten, but yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly, who himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice, and by his stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Please stand for the gospel. Holy gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 16. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, but the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep, but the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we get started, we just want to point out what our Lord says. I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. The way Christ knows us is the same as the way the Father knows the Son. Is that not astounding? Imagine that. So, we have a few things to say to you today. The first thing is that there is one road to heaven, and that is the road of prayer. If you pray often during the day, then you can feel certain that you are on that road. If you pray seldom, we're not so sure you're going to be on that road very long. But on the bright side, because God is infinitely good and loving, He has also given us the ability, while we are on this road, to bring others with us. All we have to do is pray for them. We pray for our neighbor, as many as we like, and we can bring them with us. Now, we know that that's true, but many of the saints have believed that it is certain, because our Lord and Savior Himself said, "If you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you." And many of the saints have said, this is one of those things. Obviously, you can't ask for anything the way the words read, but we know that our Lord and Savior meant that if you ask anything related to our salvation, because many of the things that we ask for are bad for us, aren't they? We don't always ask God for the right things. So naturally, being good, He's not going to give us those things. It'd be bad. It'd be harmful to us. Like you often see a baseball player make the sign of the cross before he bats the ball. Well, I'm guessing that he's not praying for his eternal salvation. So, what does that cross mean? He's asking for something else. And of course, God ignores that. But this is something we can ask for, the salvation of our loved ones. We can bring them with us. During this Easter season, Holy Mother of the Church reminds us of the proofs of the resurrection. Because St. Paul says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. So we are reminded of all of the proofs of the resurrection. Like, for instance, St. Paul, this is not in the Gospels, but St. Paul says in his epistle, one of his epistles to the Corinthians, that Christ appeared to over 500 people on one occasion. 500 people. It's good to be reminded about that during these days after our Lord rose from the dead. But, brethren, there are so many proofs of the resurrection and testimonies to the truths of our faith which are related to this great proof, the greatest proof of all, our Lord and Savior rising from the dead. And they go all the way back, as I'm sure you know, to Adam and Eve. So, for instance, some of the saints in the Old Testament raised people from the dead. Those are testimonies. They point to the resurrection of the Son of God. They are testimonies to the resurrection of Christ. Now, that's just a couple of things from the Old Testament, but there are many. In the New Testament, we have innumerable testimonies to the resurrection and to the truths of our faith. They are innumerable. All of the saints are testimonies, beautiful, undeniable testimonies, and they're miracles. Some of the saints worked miracles almost constantly. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Anthony. But just their lives were testimonies. These people lived extremely holy lives. Of course, the apostles, we've spoken to you about their testimony. Those are the greatest testimonies of all, the apostles. But the saints, nobody can live holy lives without God's help. Not to mention the miracles, just a holy life. You and I, if we remain in the state of grace for any length of time, that is a testimony to the resurrection. Because God is not going to help us, and you know that we cannot remain in the state of grace very long at all without God's help. You know that. That's how weak we are, how weak and malicious, evil. Without God's help, we can't do anything. So just the us remaining in the state of grace for any length of time, there you have it, a proof to the truths of our faith. The saints that worked all of these miracles were great saints. And we want to give you an example or two. One of the greatest miracle workers of all time, not the greatest, but one of them, is Padre Pio. There's a picture of him. He lived in our times. This is astounding to us. We won't try to explain why that might be, but he was the only priest in the history of the church who had the visible stigmata. 5 wounds. He bled all the time. The doctors examined him and said that it was impossible. What he had was impossible. That's what the doctors said. Many of them, after examining him, said that this cannot be. Open wounds. 5 of them, bleeding constantly for a good portion, most of his life. And his miracles were astonishing. Someone came to him and asked him, this was a blind person, and this person said, Would you please pray that I can be cured of my eyesight, my blindness, so that at least, even if it's just one eye, please give me the vision of out of one eye so I can see my loved ones. And Padre Pio said, so just one eye. He said, yeah, just one eye. So he came back later and he said, Padre Pio, I'm cured. And he said, oh, you received your sight, but you're completely cured? And he said, no, just the one eye. And Padre Pio said, now let that be a proof to you that you should ask for everything, not just a little. And a priest came to him. And he had a friend with him. His friend was Jewish. In 1919, a priest named Padre Carlo Naldi came with his Jewish friend, Lelo Peña. The priest explained that Peña had recently become totally blind. They had come to Padre Pio to see if he could be healed. Padre Pio told Peña, the Lord will not grant you the grace of physical sight unless you first receive sight for your soul. After you are baptized, then the Lord will give you your sight. Months later, Peña came back without the dark glasses that he normally wore. Peña explained to Padre Pio that despite opposition from his family, he had become a Christian and was baptized. At the beginning, he was discouraged when his blindness continued, but after a number of months, his sight returned. The physician who had earlier told Peña that he was hopelessly blind now had to admit that his eyesight was in perfect condition. Father Paulino kept in contact with Leo Peña for nearly 30 years and reported that his vision was still perfect. So that's Padre Pio. And also, in the 12th century, there was a saint, Saint Benezet, 12th century. His feast day is tomorrow. He was a shepherd. That's all he was, a shepherd. Now we don't know how many times we've given you examples of lay people who are saints, who lived holy lives. So here was a shepherd. And he received this inspiration. He lived in Avignon, France, through which city runs the Rhone River. And this river is about half a mile wide, a little more than that. And this shepherd received an inspiration because of the people that often died in the river that ran through this town. He received this inspiration to build a bridge across the river. He's a shepherd. And he went to the bishop and he said, may I have permission to build this bridge to save all of these souls? And he worked a miracle so that people would know that he was inspired to build the bridge. And the bishop gave him permission. And so he began to build the bridge. And throughout the construction, which took him 7 years, he built the bridge in 7 years. 3,000 feet. 3,000 feet. Throughout the building of the bridge, he's working miracles. Miracles are taking place for 7 years. And just before he finished the bridge, he died. and they finished the bridge. Now, he built this bridge out of wood. And so after a few years, we can't remember how many, after not very long, the bridge began to fall apart because of the strength of the river. And so they came back and they put in a rock, concrete, solid bridge. And on the bridge, they built a chapel. And they buried St. Benezet in the chapel. And this bridge lasted around 500 years with this saint buried on the bridge, in the bridge. You can see it on the internet. Part of the bridge still exists, and you can see the chapel. We didn't see the inside, but you saw part of the bridge there, which still exists. And there's the little chapel on the bridge. And so after the bridge began to fall apart, after approximately 500 years, they decided that it wasn't safe for our saint to be there. So they took him out. He was, despite the fact that everything was falling apart on this bridge, everything was just completely deteriorating, and if it had some iron in it, the iron was all rusted, so there wasn't anything left. And they took out St. Benezet, and there he is. He looked like he was still alive. That's how well he was preserved. Now we know that most people in the world don't know about the miracles of all the preservations of the saints' bodies. Most don't know about this. They took his body out again later and it was still preserved. We don't know if it is now. It hasn't been taken out in some time. He took and put it in a church. We know that people in the world don't know about this. We had some non-Catholic Christians, so-called Christians, at our breakfast table about 40 or 50 years ago, and we asked them in our conversation, what do your people say about the preserved, miraculously preserved bodies of the saints, which are innumerable? And they said, we don't talk about that. We just don't talk about it. We are imagining it's similar to the sacrament of penance, which they don't talk about, because Christ our Lord made it very clear that our sins would be forgiven if we confess them. After he gave the Holy Ghost to the apostles, he said, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you shall retain, if you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. There is no logical explanation for these words of the Son of God if there is no sacrament of penance. There is no way to explain this away. And so they must not talk about the sacrament of penance. They must not speak about these words of Christ. Who would go to confession voluntarily and take the chance that the priest would not forgive him? Who would ever do it? What idiot would do that if our Lord and Savior didn't make this as a commandment? It's the only way our sins can be forgiven. He didn't say those words, but that was part of it. There's no other way to have our sins forgiven except by a priest. And they hate priests. So they don't talk about this. That's the way they get around it. That's what these so-called Christians said to us. Now today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And traditionally speaking, this is the day that we speak about. Priests speak about religious vocations. We are guessing, pure guess, that it is because of the words of Christ, the Good Shepherd, in today's Gospel, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me." Now, we don't want to take those words away from you, because certainly they were not applied only to clergy, but they were certainly applied to people who have given themselves, right? Who have dedicated themselves to God. If we, he says, mine, they are mine, my, no, mine, and mine know me. So, people who belong to Christ. Hopefully, that's all of you. But have you dedicated yourselves? The Protestants say, I've accepted Christ into my heart. Have you dedicated yourselves like this in some way as we have dedicated ourselves to God? Do you spend time every day praying and contemplating, meditating on heaven and hell and judgment, death? You think about death every day? Do you get down on your knees and beg for God to save you? Do you do that? The most exalted thing on earth or in heaven, the most exalted thing of all, apart from God Himself, is a priest. He is above all creation. God has arranged that there is no salvation apart from a priest. We've said words like this recently, as you may recall. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no salvation. There is no grace apart from the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No grace. All grace comes through the Mass. That's the sacrifice of Christ. And we don't receive any grace except through that. Through the lips, the tongue, the mouth of a priest. He has arranged it, Almighty God, that everything, the whole universe, so to speak, depends on priests. No grace except through Christ, who speaks to us and gives his grace to us through the mouth and the hands of a priest. No sins forgiven. No one can have any of his or her sins forgiven unless Christ forgives them through the priest, through the breath of Christ, when the priest says, "I forgive you." And where would we be without the instructions of a priest? Where? We would be lost. We want to remind you that God calls all of us to heaven. Many have believed that, and some of the saints have believed this, that God calls everyone to the religious life, to a life of chastity. So St. Augustine said this. There he is back there. And the people said, "Oh, that's ridiculous. If everybody lived a life of chastity, then that would be the end of the world." And St. Augustine said, "And wouldn't that be beautiful?" That the world, which is going to end someday, would end because of our dedication and chastity. So some believe that everybody is called to the religious life and a life of chastity. But not everybody believes that. Many of the saints have talked about the call of God. By the way, one of the testimonies to this being to everyone were the words of Christ. When the apostles asked him about this terrible thing of chastity, he said, we paraphrase the apostles, "Who's going to do this? What's the point of this?" Christ said, "Let him who can take it, take it." In other words, everybody. Anybody that can do it, let him do it. Let him live a life of chastity. That's one of the testimonies to what St. Augustine said. But many of the saints have said, if we receive the call, then we must answer it. If we don't answer it, our salvation is in grave danger. Those who have been called to dedicate themselves, whether it be in a convent or in the priesthood, if they do not answer the call, these saints have said their salvation is in grave danger because they've refused God's invitation. And they have said that, many of them. But it's still possible to be saved. And we want to read to you what St. Francis de Sales, you remember him, we don't have a statue of him, But St. Francis de Sales, you may recall, was the greatest spiritual director that ever lived apart from the Son of God. St. Francis de Sales is considered the greatest spiritual director of all times. And he says this. To have a sign of a true vocation, it is not necessary that our constancy be sensible. In other words, we don't have to feel called at every moment. And therefore, we must not judge that a vocation is not a true one if the individual thus called, before putting it into execution or following it, does not feel any longer those sensible movements. Don't feel like I should do this anymore. I felt like I was wanting to be a priest or a nun, but I don't feel like that now. That's gone. Got other things on my mind besides dedicating myself to God. Does not feel any longer those sensible movements which he felt in the beginning. Even should he feel a repugnance and coldness. How many feel that? Which sometimes bring him to waver and make it appear to him that all is lost. He should still follow his vocation. Many people say, well, if I had a sign from God, I would dedicate myself to him. St. Ignatius, there he is, St. Ignatius, said, it would seem, considering that people who are in the world and their souls are in grave danger at every moment, because of all the temptations surrounding them every second, whereas people in religious life contemplate divine things and do not have temptations all day long. St. Ignatius said, it would seem like the people who or thinking of going into the world would need some kind of a sign to tell them they need to go into the world and be lay people instead of staying in the convent or in their priesthood and saving their souls. Seems like they should be the ones that they demand a sign from God. Not religious, not people who want to dedicate themselves to God and save their souls, but the other people. He said, those are the people that need a sign. They should demand a sign from God before they go to the world and dedicate themselves to pride, fortune, pleasure. These are the things that people in the world are dedicated to. If not one of those three, maybe all three. Those are the things that the people in the world are dedicated to. Whereas in the priesthood, they have other things on their minds. Because they think about what they can say to people to help them save their souls. Without the priest instructing us, on how to pray, how would we know how to pray if the priest did not instruct us? And then, what would we do without the priest praying for us? Remember, when the priest prays for us at Mass, that is Christ. That is Christ praying for you, when the priest prays for you. And he instructs us how to practice virtue. And then, maybe after a while, we begin to pray. After we have heard what the priest has to say about prayer and how to do it, then hopefully we begin to pray and to practice virtue. We begin to taste the sweetness of prayer and the practice of virtue. We begin to feel that God is really present in us. We feel that God is with us because we can speak to Him every moment. He's listening right here. We begin to feel that the Holy Ghost is with us because we are able to do things we could not do before. And our faith begins to become clear. Now we understand what these things mean, because the priest has explained it to us. And we began to realize that we are more certain of God in us than we are of ourselves, because God must exist. But we don't have to exist. Only God does. And we begin to feel that. It becomes perfectly clear that we need Him at every second. And we begin to see the importance of our Blessed Mother, who loves priests more than anyone else, because she loves her sons. Her priests are her sons. She loves priests as she loves her own son, brethren. And she gives priests very special graces. And lastly, we realize what St. Thomas said when he said words like this: charity is not a virtue for men, except insofar as they are gods. Insofar as you and I are gods, we can practice charity. Charity cannot be practiced by someone who is not in the state of grace. It's impossible. Because charity is God, the Holy Ghost, acting in us. We cannot love except that we are God. We are part of God. We will not appreciate this until we see God face to face, that we are one with Him because of His Son, because we belong to His Son. We are one with the Son, Son of God. We do not appreciate what this means at this moment. We will, when we see God in heaven, we will finally understand that we are God, small g. And then we will understand, when we see God, what it means to be a priest and how important it is that we follow this invitation, if at all possible. May God bless you.